Hello, everyone. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Dave, and I'm part of the church family here. I'm part of the eldership. Up until recently, I was on staff, and it's really my pleasure to share with you today from God's Word, from the Bible, as we continue this series called The King's Manifesto, looking at what it means to build a different world here today. If the slides could go up, that would be a fantastic thing. You are also looking at the face of a man whose baby slept through the night for the first time ever last night. There you go. I've already discovered that that is a great way to lose friends, telling them about that. But no, my wife and I have an 8-week-old, Jed, and we are feeling very blessed by him. We're feeling very blessed by his sleeping. We know that everything's a phase. We know that it won't necessarily last, but we're feeling blessed this morning. Are you feeling blessed this morning?
Yes.
I imagine some of you kept quiet, and some of you who said yes maybe weren't telling the whole truth. Because the truth is that there are times when we feel incredibly blessed because of the things that are going on, because of the things that we have, because of the good news, because of lots of things that are good. And there are times when we do not feel blessed. We like to, when things are good, we can say, yeah, God is so good, I'm feeling really blessed. And when things aren't good, can we still say we feel blessed? Can we still say that we're blessed? Today is all about a kingdom of blessing. Natalie and I, my wife and I, feel incredibly blessed by our little one. But the truth is that over the last number of years, there are many times when if you asked us on a Sunday or any other time, how blessed are you feeling? The answer would have been, not very blessed at all. The journey towards our little one arriving was long and was hard and was marked with infertility and with treatment and with clinics and with IVF and with all kinds of things that were incredibly difficult. Difficult to the point where we chose not to talk about them publicly because it was hard. And it was raw. And one of the principles that we have that Stephen, I think, really helpfully leads our team into is that we lead from our scars, not our open wounds. I wasn't going to stand up and talk about it over the last few years because I would just bleed all over you and that wouldn't help anyone. But it's been really hard. And there are lots of times when we felt deeply unblessed. So has God's blessing been taken away? Are we not blessed over the last few years? But now we are because we have our little one. It doesn't work like that. Because actually there's a deeper kind of blessing. And the passage we're looking at today is going to speak about what a blessed life looks like, what it means to be blessed. And it's not just about all the things, the good things that we have, the health or the wealth or the all of those sorts of things. It's about something deeper. So really, blessing is less about having the latest this and having the latest that and feeling secure and feeling happy and all those sorts of things. Blessing is about living our life in God's favor. And God's favor doesn't always look like one thing. Does God bless us? We're all good. Does God bless us with material things? Yes, he does. Does he bless us in other ways? Yes, he does. Is our baby a blessing from God? Absolutely. Is health, are the things that we have, are our relationships blessings from God? Absolutely. Is it right to pray and ask God for those kinds of blessings? Absolutely. But there's another kind of blessing as well. So we're going to be looking at this passage in Matthew chapter 5. In fact, today and over the next few Sundays, we're going to be looking at the beginning of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest block of teaching that we see from Jesus in the Bible. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And this is the beginning of it. This is how he starts. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's a very different definition of blessing, isn't it, than the one that we might claim today. Jesus describes lots of things as blessed, which we might see as the opposite of being blessed. Mourning is blessing. Being poor in spirit, whatever that means, is a blessing. Being persecuted, this last one that's still up on the screen, Jesus describes it as a blessing. This is the kind of persecution that some of the people who would have heard Jesus say these words and some of those who read them in the book of Matthew would go on to face. Christians who are pulled into the Colosseum and released amongst some lions who would tear them to shreds. That's the kind of persecution, or at least one of the kinds of persecution, that Jesus would have been speaking about. That seems very removed from us. That's not the kind of persecution that we might face today or that Christians around the world might face today. Here's a picture of what modern-day persecution might look like. As Christians are lined up on a beach, that photo is taken moments before they were beheaded by Islamic extremists. It's uncomfortable to look at. Perhaps becomes even more uncomfortable when we put this word over it. Blessed. That's what Jesus describes. He says, blessed are you when you are persecuted. When people falsely say all kinds of things against you, when people insult you. How on earth can he possibly use that language and then label it as blessed? And if we look at the rest of the passage, the ones that came before, a lot of these things, I've highlighted each of the different things that Jesus describes in what's often known as the Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes. And a lot of them are uncomfortable. A lot of them are things that we look at and we go, how could that possibly be described as a blessing? And so that comes back to us. And my question that I started with, do we feel blessed? Which is the wrong question to ask, I believe. I don't think it's just about whether we feel blessed. I think the right question to ask is, do you know that you are blessed, regardless of what you feel? I'm not saying our feelings don't matter. Of course they do. But I don't think they need to be the driving force as we approach this idea of how God blesses us. It is not enjoyable to be persecuted. It is not enjoyable to mourn. But these, Jesus says, and I choose to believe him because I believe the word of God, these can be places where blessing come. So let's look at them for a moment. And I believe that one of the things that ties these things together, one way to look at it, is that this is a different kind of blessing than the one our world would talk about. Because in our world, blessing is about being on top or being ahead or having things. It's about what we do have. But what Jesus is speaking about is a different kind of blessing. It's what I call the blessing of not. The blessing of what we don't have and the position that can put us in that then leads us to a place of blessing. Let's look at these. He says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. I asked at the beginning how you're doing. I asked in a upbeat, lively way. But I wonder whether there are people here today or watching online who feel spiritually deplete and empty or even spiritually bankrupt. Knowing that spiritually you bring nothing. Spiritually you feel dead. Spiritually you know that you can't muster it up anymore. That faith is a slog. That belief and trust in God is just an uphill struggle. That's what poverty of spirit is about, that our spirit, our spirituality, that part of us that God blesses us with just feels as though it's gone. Jesus says that we're blessed when we're poor in spirit, when we know our true spiritual state, because the truth is that all of us come to God spiritually poor. We need his spiritual riches because we can't muster up our own. We don't have our own. We can't produce the fuel for our spiritual fire by ourselves, but we're blessed when we realize that we do not have spiritual riches of our own, because then we can ask God for his and they're better. I wonder if there's anyone here today who's in a place of mourning. And that could include, Jesus was definitely including when he talked about blessed are those who mourn, those who are mourning because of the loss of a loved one. But it would also include those who are mourning the loss of a relationship, mourning the loss of a career, mourning the loss of something that means so important, or just mourning the state of the world because it's so broken. Who are in a state where you look around and go, this is so bad. To that place of wanting to almost weep, maybe weeping actually because of just how broken and wrong things are. Jesus says that when we're in that place, it can be a blessed place because then we will be comforted. Sometimes we'll experience that comfort straight away or very soon. Sometimes we won't, but there will be a day when all those who mourn are comforted, when every tear is wiped away, when all mourning and dying and sickness and pain cease. When we recognize that there is brokenness around us and when we mourn it because it is bad, we're in a place of honesty and God can meet us in that place and bring us comfort. I wonder if anyone here today feels as though they're just trampled on or overlooked or neglected or ignored. And you think, I wish people would notice me. I wish I could raise my voice up high enough. I wish I could make people hear. I wish I could make people do what I want them to do. I wish I could assert myself more strongly. And to that, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meekness is about not asserting ourselves, not demanding that everyone listen, not demanding that we have the place of power, but instead being willing to be humble. Doesn't sound, according to the world's categories, as though that's a very blessed thing. But for those who find themselves in that place, we can remember that Jesus himself embodied that meekness as he went to the cross. That he didn't assert his own rights, that he didn't demand to be taken down, that he didn't demand his innocence. Instead, he chose to embrace the position he was in. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There might be people here or listening online who are really aware of guilt in their life. Maybe there's a habit or a practice or something that you keep on doing and you just want to stop, but you don't know how. Or maybe there's something where you're just so aware of a guilt because of something that you've done in the past and you want to be better. You're hungry and you're thirsting because you want to be more holy, you want to be more pure, you want to be good. You want to be a good parent, or you want to be a good spouse, or you want to be a good neighbor. You want to be these things, and it's a struggle because you know that deep down you're sometimes not a good spouse, and you're not always a kind parent, and you're not some of these things. Jesus actually says it is blessed to recognize when we're not fully righteous and we're hungering after it, we're thirsting after it, because then we can be filled. Not with our own goodness, not with our own righteousness, but with his. Friends, if we want to be righteous, good, holy people, the best way to start is by recognizing that we're not. And by hungering after it in a different way, hungering after the righteousness that only God can give us. Blessed are the merciful. I wonder whether in our world that might be rephrased, that it would be more popular to say, blessed are those who come out on top. Blessed are those who manage to put others in their place when they're wronged. Blessed are those who get revenge. Blessed are those who can taste the sweetness of vengeance. Jesus says, no, blessed are those who are merciful, forgiving someone, turning the other cheek, recognizing that we are not in a position to judge others is apparently a blessed place, Jesus says. All of these turn on their heads what it is that the rest of our world, that most people would say, means blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart. I wonder again whether there might be people who are just so aware of things in the culture around them, either our wider culture or your work culture or your streets culture or this village's culture, of things that you look at and go, it just doesn't sit well with me. Everyone seems to be okay with this. Everyone seems to say that this is fine, but I don't think it is because God says it's not. And we're longing for a purity of heart. We want to be different and set apart. And we don't want to be just weird Christians who people look at and go, I don't want anything to do with them. But we also don't want to sacrifice on some of the things that God has said are true or not true, or that God has said are right or not right. And there's that desire for a purity of heart. And yet we know when we look inwards that our own hearts are broken. But we want it. Jesus says that it is blessed to be pure in heart, even if that means that our ethics and our behavior and everything is going to be different from everyone around us. He says that when we're pure in heart, then we see God. Then we can see things his way. If we just want to fit in, no matter what state it makes our hearts, no matter what state it makes our lives, then we're taking our eyes off God. But if our eyes are on God, then we can have that purity. Blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the peacekeepers, blessed are the peacemakers. A peacemaker recognizes that there is not peace around them. And they strive for it. They try and build it. They try and help nurture it. Wonder if there are people today who are at odds with someone. There's a relationship that's broken, or not necessarily involving you, but there's people around you with a deeply broken relationship. We see it on the world stage, but we also see it in our lives, don't we? You could think, well, that's an awful place to be. I don't want to be in the middle of that mess. Jesus says it is a blessed place to be because we can bring some of that healing and that balm that can only ultimately come from him. And blessed are the persecuted, he finishes with. The blessing of knowing that we will not be popular, that we will not always be on what the world sees as the right side of the argument, that we will not always be safe or secure. And for most of us, we won't face what we saw in that picture of those Christians kneeling on the beach. But we might be made fun of, or we might know that if we voice certain opinions, it could have impacts on our career. That if we say certain things, it'll affect the way that people think of us, affect the social circles that we're invited to be part of. Jesus says that there is even blessing there because it's just coming in line with the truth that to be a Christian is not to always have the upper hand, is not to always be on top, is not to always assert ourselves, is not to always be popular or in the majority, but instead is to look more and more like Jesus who himself went to the cross, because ultimately all of this finds its fullness in the cross. Poverty of spirit, Jesus became poor so that we might become rich. Pure in heart, Jesus, the only one who was truly pure in heart, died so that my heart of stone can be torn out and replaced with his heart of flesh. Blessed are those who mourn. God mourns at the state of the world, and so he did something about it. Blessed are the merciful, the cross, the greatest act of mercy. As those who deserve to be punished, you and I aren't, but instead are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Blessed are the meek. How meek? The innocent, perfect Son of God, humbling himself, becoming obedient even to death, without fighting back, without demanding or asserting himself. Blessed are the peacemakers, God, the great peacemaker, making peace with us through the cross. Blessed are the persecuted. Jesus, misunderstood, mistreated, wrongly sentenced, wrongly convicted, wrongly executed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus, we're told on the cross that he thirsted, that he was thirsty and he did it because he hungered and thirsted for our righteousness, that we might give what he had, that we might get what he had. We're told that he endured the cross because of the joy set before him. The joy of being united with you and me, the joy of being reconciled, of being our brother, of us being his brother or his sister, of us becoming children of his father. He endured the cross for that joy. So much of this blessing that Jesus speaks about is us recognizing that what we're facing right now is temporary. That the mourning or the misunderstanding or the weakness we know is in us will one day fade away and be replaced. And we can go around with our fingers in our ear, pretending that everything is fine, pretending, yeah, I'm blessed because this is happening. Or we can be honest and say that the world, that ourselves, that things are broken. But that recognizing that places us in a position where God can bless us with true spiritual blessing of forgiveness, of cleansing, of holiness, of righteousness, of purity. But there is a choice that this means that we all need to make. Will we only define blessing when it feels good? Will we only say, I'm blessed because we've got this thing, or because we have that thing, or because things are going well, or because it all seems to be going good for us? Will we only say we're blessed on those days, or will we also choose? And it is a choice. It is a choice, but choose to say in the times and the seasons and the days when things are so hard, for all of these reasons and many others, to say I am blessed because I am in God. That is different. That is difficult. It's something we can only do in Jesus' strength. But it's how he chooses to begin the Sermon on the Mount. Because it's important, because he's introducing a topsy-turvy, upside-down world. Not based on what the rest of the world would call blessed, but on what he and his Father call blessed. Blessed is being filled with all the things that we could never get for ourselves, that this world could never give us, and that only God could. And when we live with that definition of blessing, it gives us an opportunity to do what Jesus goes on to say next, because he carries on and says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. This word's about salt. What does salt do? Well, in that culture, salt did two things. It flavored things. It brings out the flavor of things. It makes things tasty. And it preserves things. It protects things. In the days before refrigerators, and if you want to keep meat from going bad, you slather it in salt. You cure it so that it's going to last without going wrong. When we are different from the world around us, when those of us who follow Jesus are choosing to be like him and to define blessing his way, more in terms of our righteousness, more in terms of the good impact we have on the world than about whether life is comfortable or easy or good or fun, that's tasty. It brings out the tastiness, it brings out the goodness in things, it brings out the distinctive flavors in the world around us. The world should be better because of our impact on it. And it also helps to preserve and protect things that are good. The pure in heart, it helps to protect purity. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it helps to protect what is good and righteous. And then he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Not only are we to be distinct, we're to be shiny. It's meant to show. This isn't about us bragging and going around saying, I'm a Christian, so I'm better than you. You can be like me if you know Jesus. But it is about us saying, this is the difference Jesus makes in my life. I'm not ashamed of it. Sometimes it puts me at odds with the world. Sometimes it puts me in positions that are actually harder for me, but maybe better for others. And that's okay with me. I don't think Christians should be weird for the wrong reasons, but we should be a bit weird. We should be a bit weird. We should be a bit different. If we just look like everyone else in the world, believe what everyone else in the world believes, go with the flow, adapt to whatever new thing in society is going on without asking God what he thinks about it, what do we have to offer? We have nothing to offer. If we flat out accept the definition of blessed that the rest of the world uses, that blessed is when you live to a ripe old age, and when you have a wonderful family around you, and when you've achieved, you've raised to the top of your career and you've got a good little nest egg. You've got a full bank balance and a full belly. And you've got good friends. And you've got a hobby that you love. And that's wonderful and that's blessed. Of course there's some blessing in what I've just described. But it's not true blessing. Because if it is, Jesus was not blessed. If it is, Jesus was one of the least blessed people in the world. And I don't believe that's true. I believe that he exhibits the very fullness of life. And when he says that he wants to give us life in all its fullness, he wasn't talking about a life that he didn't get to have. Because life in all its fullness is life lived in lockstep with the Father. And that's what Jesus had. Even when it took him to the cross, even when it meant that he was maligned by the world, misunderstood, mistreated by the world, he was still blessed. We see some of that heart in these words that he says. So I wonder where we need to see parts of our life that are hard. And we need to let God define them the way that he defines them. If you feel spiritually poor, can I invite you to come to Jesus and ask him to fill you? Instead of saying, when my life is fine, when something happens, when this gets fixed or when this gets sorted, then I'll be fine. Ask him to fill you now, to fill you with his Spirit today. Are you mourning? Are you mourning for something you've lost? Are you mourning because of the state of something that you look at? Ask Jesus to comfort you. Are you feeling overlooked, mistreated, as though you're being forced to be meek? Ask Jesus to help you embrace meekness and to see its value and beauty. In the area of your life that you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, where you know there is sin, let Jesus fill you. Let him fill you with his motivation and his willpower. Where you're really struggling to forgive someone, to show mercy, ask Jesus to remind you the mercy that he has shown you. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. Where you see yourself at odds with the world because what you see as purity is seen as wrong by others, ask God to give you clear sight of him. And where you're misunderstood or bullied or spoken ill of or just left out because you're the Christian and no one wants anything to do with you, ask Jesus to show you how much more valuable it is to be associated with him than to be popular in others' eyes. This is an upside down kingdom, but a kingdom of blessing is about living in God's favor and everything else that might come our way is the icing on the cake, but it's not the cake. The cake is knowing Jesus. It's being welcomed into his family. And that's something that can never be taken away. So in some ways, it doesn't matter this morning whether you're feeling blessed. But what matters to me deeply is that you would all know that you can be blessed and that it comes through Jesus. Let me pray. And as we do, could the band come up? Because we're going to sing again in a moment. But let me pray. Lord God, I thank you that you do pour out all kinds of blessings on us, including material blessings, including things and good things in our lives. And we do not turn up our nose at those things. We do not take them for granted. We thank you and we praise you. But we also ask for that deeper rooted blessing. And where we need to let go of something or turn from something or just allow you to redefine things in our lives, I pray that you would help us to do that. That we wouldn't just be searching for goodness and for blessing and for happiness in all the places that those around us would, but that we would look for it in you, in your comfort, in your holiness, in your righteousness, in your mercy and forgiveness over our lives. Thank you that Jesus didn't just talk this talk, but he walked that walk, and he walked it all the way to the cross. And even there, it was a place of blessing for us. So we thank you and we praise you. And we ask that for those of us who know your blessing because you've poured out your blessing on us in your Son through his blood, that you would help us to be salty and distinctive and to be light and shiny, that others might see a difference and give all the glory to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.